My name is Anna Sazhenova, and I'm the founder of Archipel Company. The two of us, me and my colleague Konstantin. I think we are the most popular Russian brand now of the design of the modern generation, and we're also the founders of the Russian Designers Club. And we made it 5 years ago in order to take together all the designers, all the underground movements, in order to make design officially popular, you know, because when you are together, and now there is about 35 brands all over Russia, and it gives us opportunity to participate in all the main exhibitions in Russia, in all the different big cities, and also to just to make the brand made in Russia to be more popular. And this is our mission, just to it was started a year ago. First time we came to Milano, and we had a manifest last year. We came to Lambrate. We had a manifesto that in Russia there is a well done structure of production. So we shown about we said that time 33 products that actually produced in some kind of amounts, and this is industrial production, and so this we have quality, so we have industry now. And this year the topic is export, so we are ready to bring everything in flat boxes and with all the documentation, with everything, so the packaging design.
Would I be okay in calling this sort of like an artist collective?
I think it's more artists, of course, but also there is a little bit more, because when there is a part of an artist group, because we exchange opinions, exchange thoughts, and what do you do and what materials do you use and so on. So there's the part that is called a club. This is a real club, but same time it's not only artists, because you have to produce, and each piece of furniture should be like a manufactured piece. And it's not only because about art, this is about advertisement, management, production, so it's a business.
But what I meant by that is you are a collective of different brands doing different things, but all have the same aim, which is, as far as I understood, walking around your exhibition, is to present to the world that is coming to Milan during this week and looking for new design and innovation and and different ideas, to say, okay, we're Russia, we're here, and this is what we're creating right now for us, for the future. Every brand that you have is basically doing their own thing, or are you guys, let's say, helping each other in significant ways, utilizing each other's skills, abilities, or is everybody very independent within the collective?
In general, each team is independent, but of course, like in every community of people, there are collaborations. And for example, some the primary tasks how you can become the member of the club. So you should have your original design. It should be designed in Russia and should be produced in Russia. But you can be a designer and found a production, I don't know, somewhere. Or for example, my team, we have we're architects and also have our designs, and we organize our own production. And but you can't be a production who doesn't have the design, you understand, so it should be something like this. And then comes the collaboration. For example, some guy has his own design product with which he came to the club, but he also has a production, and he can collaborate with his Zaz designer and produce his design for him. Or for example, we can say that you and you, let's order the plywood together. and it would be cheaper, and we have the delivery and so on. And so inside this there are a lot of processes how we can make the ordinary life and work easier to each other, to be together and communicating.
Right, so by being together you make it a bit helpful.
Everything
for everybody else as an individual.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And these ideas of utilizing the, because I think I saw it on different projects that you guys are showcasing, the material seems to be fairly consistent. This message that you're trying to put out of exporting Russian design,
mm-hmm.
is it something that also in a way makes you edit yourself? If you get certain materials to play with, and then it's all about the creativity, what you do with
mm-hmm.
that. You are constraining yourself to the use of plywood, for example, in several different ways.
It comes naturally because I don't like the talks about what is the traditions of in your design, for example, what is that and what is so. I don't like the folklore things, you know, if you understand them. Because I think now the world is so mixed and there are no so borders, and so all the design is international. But there are some very small ingredients that make the design in every country local. So this is local materials, this pictures that you see every day with your eyes, yes. And plywood, for example, it's normal for us because we are this giant plywood production that we sell plywood to all Europe, this birch plywood. And when you come, for example, I don't know, to Austria, they have pine boards and they make a lot of furniture out of that because we also have pines, but we make houses with, I don't know. But for us it's natural to use plywood, to use steel, and also the design most of the time simple because it's the generation of designers who mostly produce by our hands. So after the ruining of Soviet Union, there's a big gap between the production and between the designers. They don't communicate. There is no this tradition like in Europe, production comes to a designer, says they develop product for us. We don't have this. If you production, they say that design is something. We can use the products, produce the products that we designed 20 years ago, and then, but now they come to understand that it doesn't work forever. And the designers, if they want to realize themselves, they make themselves. Of course, it puts makes some particular face to the designs, which is a little bit more handmade. But it's also not bad because it's. There is something romantic in it that it's made by hands but not by machines or just only plastic. So there's a lot of wood and so on.
Yeah, I think there's this idea sometimes that people have, maybe including myself, about how Russian design is a lot of handwork. It's
mm-hmm.
very particular.
Yes, there is.
I like the idea of everything being in a way unique, even. Like the way you can carve, like
mm-hmm.
in the stool that you're
mm-hmm.
showcasing, or the way you mm-hmm. can carve plywood and create different shades every time. So even if it's a material that seems to be quite similar
mm-hmm.
in every sense, it ends up always saying something different. The little cat, right, that you put
yes.
in your stools, I really like that idea of something having a soul. Reminds me of, I remember this jewelry one time they made of a ring with a diamond
mm-hmm.
inside the ring.
Ah, oh, yes.
So you couldn't see
mm-hmm.
it, you just knew it
mm-hmm.
was there, right? So it's like this is somehow a piece of...
Yes, that's some kind of tricks that put soul in the object.
And what inspired you to say, like, I'm gonna hide this little cat?
We didn't even think about hiding it, but we wanted to put our sign on our furniture, and the most easiest is just to put maybe a sticker. But the cats, you know, it's our symbol because we are me and Kostya, my colleague, we are architects,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't want to go to work for a big company after graduating from the university, and with. Thought we are going to do everything by ourselves, but when you are a young designer, you of course no one orders you a skyscraper or something like this. You have a flat that the all the architects don't want to make project for because there are some specialties, maybe with a client or something like this. And we had a project, we made the interior and designed all the furniture because it's a part of inner architecture. We couldn't find who will produce it, and we started to, you know, to drill it with a saw in the kitchen, so it's not so difficult and so on. And afterwards we organized the production. The cats was the first object that we made, small souvenirs, just gifts for our friend when we started to work with wood with hands. And they're just not too architectural, and but it was the first serial product that we made, and it came from this 10 years. And we thought that just not to put the sign in the furniture, but put the symbol in each piece. And so, but because you can't put the cats just in the middle of the wardrobe, because it's a changed design, but just to put it somewhere that you find done afterwards, I think it's more more interesting and more stylish.
What are some things that you think you as a whole group are conveying to the people coming here? What are the strengths right now for someone who maybe doesn't know so much about Russia today?
Mm-hmm. I think you can expect good products for good price. I think now a situation with ruble and euro and so on, we have problems with that, of course, because for us everything grows more expensive, but at the same time you can afford really good prices, because for example I went to Stockholm Furniture Fair 1 or 2 months ago, and it was everything so expensive, and they have my chair for 1,000 euros, but not my chair, I mean the pretty the same level of difficulty for produce that you can judge. And we have sometimes low price, and I understand that for us it's okay. But the same, I think design is very, as far as you start, they're not big productions. For example, I think we have one of the biggest productions in the club, I think we have the biggest, it's about 1,500 square meters. But we can control quality, and I think because in, for example, in Russia, everyone is keen on Italian design. So Italian design is so cool, but sometimes the pieces they come in very huge mass market. They're not so qualified it's not about that. Think Italy has good design and good quality, but when you and a lot of design from China, even not design production.
Yes.
And so I think the pieces that you can find here, they can make a good concurrence to mass production, because it's very handmade.
Last year I went to the fair. Mm-hmm. Going around and talking about producing this furniture too, and the producer was actually Russian. Mm-hmm. So basically, yeah, like you're saying, like sometimes even Italian design gets produced in Russia, but it's a different thing trying to find this new language of Russian design that maybe as a foreigner we're stuck too much with history and looking mm-hmm. back at,
yeah, sure.
at Russia in a way, in this romantic way, you know, Tolstoy, mm-hmm. Dostoevsky.
Yes.
Everything else, it's very romantic as an
but
idea.
But it's still, you can't cut it, you know, so this influences somehow.
Of course, the influence is supposed to still be there. But I think knowing that this new generation comes out of people who are still born in the USSR, and they're kind
mm-hmm,
of like
yeah.
this first wave of new...
Yeah, actually, we've been in USSR.
They're in a different environment, with different education probably, with
mm-hmm.
More globalized, like you said.
But there's not much difference, but it's interesting that we've seen different cultures inside one place. But about the design, I will tell you a joke. When I think 10 years ago, we were invited first to Eindhoven, you know, Eindhoven Design
Week
in the Netherlands. Like, all the Russian designers, and for us it was very funny because we thought we were architects and the designers or something, you know. Mm. Different And we even didn't produce furniture for this time, but we came with small objects like the holder for pencils and the plates, like our chair, but just plate, you know, like this. So with the cats. And they said, oh, it's all the visitors in the exhibition, they were touching, it was all handmade wood. Said, it's so nice, guys, it's what we were doing 60 years ago. But we're still coming back because now we make a plastic rose-colored toys and with no soul, and we want to come back to the hand production. So it was fun. So, like a craftsmanship or something.
Yeah, going back to this basics, human element, yeah, of design, mm-hmm, where you can actually feel it, not only see it. That's very good. And since you were talking about Milan, what do you think about Milan as a city? Not only about Italian design, but...
But I think this is great because, you know, I very like Ifiori in Salona because there is... So I like the city exhibition most of all because there's a great impression when you come somewhere and everything is... full of design, full of inspiration. All the people are very energetic, you know, they have like electricity all around and everything is about design, and this is a very inspiring. So I think Milan is really cool about this.
Do you think there's a reason why everybody, these creative people, including yourselves, get somehow drawn to places like this?
Yeah, this is design electricity. I think this is no connection with the history of the city. You know, it's like Moscow. Moscow is a gigapolis that attracts a lot of people, but no one knows if Moscow is a beautiful city or not. No one even thinks about this because Moscow is a place that attracts a lot of the flows of people they meet with each other. It's like a scene of the theater, you know? And so the city lives a different way. So Milano, I think the same, that there is a point of design, a point of everything, and just people come. So it could be different architecture, different history. It wouldn't change that everyone comes here for the design. Mm. It's my impression, I don't know. But I like Milano. It's, of course, all the main cities of Italy are different. It's, so there is Milano, and it's comparable with Rome or Venice. I don't know, but it's all the time we think when we think about Milan, we think about the design, not only about furniture, but also that very stylish people live here and so on.
And one last thing I have to ask you, because mm-hmm, I ask everybody this question, and you're an architect, so you're probably, like us, almost addicted to it. How do you take your coffee?
With great pleasure.
Well, a specific way? Are you like an espresso person, cappuccino person?
Cappuccino with... I like cappuccino or coffee with milk and a little bit of sugar.
Or are you maybe more of a tea person?
No, I'm coffee person.
Coffee person.
But not too much. I have the Geyser coffee machine, Italian one in Russia, and so I drink two coffees in the morning, and then I have this machine in the office, and also have the third coffee. So that's it. But it's.
So you make your own cappuccinos?
Yes.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
I am Katya, Katerina Grachova. I am representing here in Milano Week, Design Week, brand of kids' contemporary furniture, Dudi Vudi Dom. It's a framed wooden house-shaped objects, and we are in a team of other kids brands, which are Munk and Little Street.
Hello, my name is Maria. I'm co-founder of brand Munk. So we create minimalistic kids furniture, and it's brand from Moscow, from Russia also.
Hello, my name is Ksenia. I'm an architect, interior designer, and I make cabinet furniture for kids' rooms. Ergonomic, safe, and 100% original. I produce house-shaped wardrobes.
Thank you all for talking to me and for taking the time, busy week for everybody, I guess, to talk to me and to the people listening who are hopefully very interested in all this design that's going on here. So first of all, I wanted to ask you all, I noticed something similar between the whole brands, right? Which is this idea of giving a kid its own space and its own kind of creativity related environment for him to develop himself. It reminded me a lot of Frederick Froebel, the inventor of the kindergarten. He had this thing where these basic geometric forms made out of wood, and they were called Froebel toys. So they would introduce a kid to a cube, and then to a sphere, and then to something oblique, and the kid would start understanding how shapes work, right? This beautiful tiny desk, he had something similar with a grid on it, so you could place these geometric shapes on it. And is this, I don't know, I'm just talking about what I as a person experienced looking at what you've created, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. maybe I'm completely wrong.
No, you're right to the point. Because what is important is to have the base forms within the kids' space. For them, for the kids, are actually having their own imagination working. What to do with those simple, laconic, minimalistic forms, and they will fill in the space with their own stories and their own objects. That's why the main, functional things in the kids' space shouldn't be overloaded or overwhelmed with some decor or color is good, but that kind of exaggerated decor and number of objects in the kids' space is killing. So it's better to have 1, 2, 3 functional things that are actually a place or a base or a playground for a kid. And the kid, they you know, the thing when parents, if they buy lots of toys, they divide them into 3 or 4 parts and give first part to a kid for some time. A kid plays with the toys, then they pick all them up and hide somewhere. For example, in a month, this pack of toys will be returned to his kid's space, and the kid will be wow happy again because he remembers all. He just needs time to make his own way of how to make them. And with all our objects, because we always, on the Russian market where we have stable position, we collaborate all together just because we know that we each add to the whole picture, and we all aimed at one thing. A kid who is balanced, with a good sense of beauty and function, and developed in a very healthy psychological way, just to have this generation a chance to be authors of their life. So that's it.
Yes, what we make are the parts of the whole private space for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
But did this idea come from somewhere?
Which one?
The idea of a kid being able to inhabit their space.
Is
it something you all arrived to on your own, or is it something that happened while you were all collectively, let's say, creating?
No, we're all parents. We're all parents.
And the story of our brand started when we just couldn't find what we want to make rooms for our kids. And that's why someone decided to make furniture, someone decided to make wardrobes, beds and tables. And that's similar. We have similar history.
we just met, you know. There comes in a world that there is a time when something should happen, and the ideas are in the air. So
in the air, yeah.
We just met and we saw that we hear each other quite good, and we resonate. So I'm very well. I appreciate very much that you're saying, and you see something similar in all of us. And this is the idea we try to bring into the parents in Russia, for example. When it's not just an object, behind each object there is a concept or ideology. Actually, it's just the way of life and the way you perceive. You want your kid see it, and you want your kid to be to grow the way you want your kid to grow.
What I find in your proposals that you're showcasing here is this idea that I really like about how something can be both beautiful, but you can still just touch it. Because in other countries, especially for kids, they're trying to design things that are pretty to look at, but they are not made to really be played rough with, you know. They break and they get substituted. But then I see this this beautiful little bed with a house on top of it, and I can imagine a kid just climbing on top of it and using it kind of like even as a jungle gym, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's both beautiful, but it's something you could hit with a baseball bat and it will still be there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's made with the security and safety in mind. And as for the beds, you know, we introduced a playing game with the parents and with kids. With each with each bed, a kid gets a certificate for ownership, as as grown-up people get when they invest in the property. So it's like kids' private property, and they get the key. The kids get the key. And actually, there is a market where you can sell these houses after they've been used. So the kind of material is used, beech or oak, and the way the joints are there, it allows for the beds to be resold several times. Just like, you know, in generations, and inherited or even inherited, which is, yes, stable and long-lasting. And all our objects, by Dudi Woody Dom, by Moon, by Little Street, they are constructed in a way to last long, while the for maybe the requests of parents could be very temporary. I mean, well, I just need this bed or this table just for 1 year, that's it. And it couldn't be exaggerated with better materials or better finishing, but it's worth it. I mean, for every moment you live once, and you just need to get the best of it. That's it.
Yeah, so we think that it doesn't matter if you buy some products for your kid, even for 1 year, you understand that it will be okay for him only for 1 or 2 years, just because then he grew up. Still, this product, this furniture, everything that surrounds our kids should be still very aesthetic, and the same should be of the same quality as the adult things, because it's not, you know, it's bad when you buy something for your kid and then you try to hide it because it looks not so good as your adult furniture or something. So that is why we think that kids' desks and beds and wardrobes, they should be just on the same level, like of aesthetic, of quality, of materials, and doesn't matter for how long you would use it. So it's just the thing that helps it helps your kids to understand that to grow, you know, a person who understands who likes the quality. And in future we think that such kid wouldn't be able to create something bad, because when you grow up in nice things, good things, and in harmony, then you'll be a person who continues to do the same nice things.
Have you ever heard about system Montessori?
Yes.
It says the idea of Montessori is to help kids do something themselves. And what we do, our furniture can be used by kids themselves. So it's ergonomic, just for kids, yes. And it's not big, and it's elaborate. And...
As for the beds, for the house shaped beds, the ones that are floor based actually is just the continuation of the Montessori principles. When a kid, like a toddler, from birth, lives on floor, on the level that he or she can actually get and digest the information. So this floor-based kingdom of a kid gives him an opportunity to bring an impulse into an action, which is very important for the grown-up any being, for any grown-up, because when you can exercise your impulse into action, it means that you can start something new without any fear to be stopped or valued somehow. So if a kid or a baby wants a toy on the floor, he simply or she simply gets out of the bed, gets the toy and plays. And there is no need to cry for mama or wait for mama. It means that in your life, in your grown life, you will be able to execute this immediately. You have an idea, you have the capacity to make it, and to make a plan in reality. Everything comes from the childhood. So we are, as parents, we know this, and we nourish any opportunity to get a kid this kind of himself or herself, you know.
Of course, this Montessori thing reminds me of you're an architect as well, right? So we have examples of the Froebel's Toys kindergarten. We got people like Le Corbusier, mm-hmm. and Frank Gehry, both of which never studied architecture. They just were allowed to live in an environment that was somehow free for them to discover their own way
of living.
And I think maybe it's something that I see people lose. I really like what you said about creating furniture for kids that has also quality. I think a lot of times I see people looking for children things as momentary,
mm-hmm.
so they should be cheap. They don't want to spend more than thought amount in something that they know they will have to discard. And we maybe in the past decades lived in this throwing everything out culture, and I see the shift now. There's people who care about passing down things. I had this tricycle when I was a kid made of metal, right? And now I see my cousins' kids playing with this, you know, 30-year-old tricycle that's still working. Where if I would buy a tricycle now, maybe it will break in 6 months.
Yeah.
So you are trying to do this design that is both educational, beautiful, and it has quality to it. But as far as I understood, there's also this thing about Russia being able right now as a country to provide all these things while still being affordable, right?
Right, yes. Well, I would say that we all are looking for materials that will suit our own standards. And of course, we pick up the locally harvested beech and oak, and we have a certain quality controls. And of course, well, I as the owner and the co-owner of the Dudy Woody Dom is I'm Russian, and I come from Siberia, where the nature dictates. I mean, the character and it dictates the character, and the character back respects the nature. So it's the collaboration between nature and a person, a human being. And I know that the way we treat our resources will give us more opportunities. Just this is It's a boomerang thing when you you're being blessed with resources you can qualitatively use for making something new and something good for the world, and it's like a, this is what I call a boomerang. So you do good, bad. You, well, we all create things and objects that actually make, for example, the kids' spaces more lighter from one point of view and harmonized from another point of view. And I do feel those parents calling me after the home parties where the beds are installed and saying, with their kids in voice, I hear not grown-up people, I hear their kids' voices. They're saying, wow, thank you, you do something that makes our life happier and even brighter. So, and I am completely satisfied with that. I mean, I know that I'm doing the mission I was born with, probably. But yes, you come into the point, because I went quite long. Russia has giant resources that are not used in the proper way, probably. Wise way, let's say. And if we have that kind of opportunity to make objects out of wood that is warm and makes everything very cozy and with the feeling that you can rely on, so you have things that will last, and your kids and your grandkids will probably see it. So this is like a minimalistic classic of kids' spaces. This is what we are for, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we want the objects to stay and be like in a gallery of objects later.
And
I don't know whether I asked the...
I would like to add that I think that now in Russia there is a shift in minds of parents. From, I know, in Soviet Union, practically no kids had their own, like, space. I mean, maybe you had your own room, but you didn't have, like, special furniture on something very special. We had our parents, and maybe even our generation, sometimes had not so much toys or, like, special children's kids' things. Surely you had clothes because you need small, yeah, but you didn't have, so, this furniture or something. And now, those adults, they grew up, and they want their kids to have their nice special things, like their nice and expensive clothes and toys, and maybe not much also, but a nice room, nice furniture, and etc. So there is still this idea, yeah, of shaping a sense of beauty from birth and harmonic development. So that is why we, being parents, we pay a lot of attention to materials and to everything that we choose, because first of all, we do this for our kids. We want them to be to have the same things as we have. That is why I think our furniture now, it's on the same level as in European. So I think that the quality is not lower at all. And the material that we use, they're really nice because they come from Russia. And still now, even in modern century, when we use a lot of plastic all over the world, still even in some poor families, people use more wood. Like, it's main material that we love, and doesn't matter if you are poor or very rich, you try to use a lot of wood. So people, Russian people, they love this natural material, as Kate said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see this intention that you guys have, kind of basically a philosophy behind the design, which I really, really like. And I also would like to touch a bit, maybe you can tell me about this idea of, yeah, something that lasts, something that you can resell. But you come here as a collective with this exporting Russia, and everything can be packaged in a very flat box.
Mm-hmm.
And that, besides the philosophical intention of the furniture and the spaces, it's somehow like an engineering problem that you put upon yourselves to make it not only beautiful and interactive and educational when it's mounted, but it has to also be flat, it also has to be light, it also has to be portable, and it's what I'm trying to say. You're trying to,
yeah,
to, it's a message like we're trying to sell to the world, not only to mm-hmm. Russia, right?
But you know, still we have to do these things, this engineering, even in Russia, because Russia is so big. So when you,
yes,
when you now, for example, so we are three brands from Moscow, and now, for example, we have clients in Kamchatka. So
uh-huh.
to get to Kamchatka, you need, it's like 10 hours on plane or something. So we have clients on Baikal Lake, in Altai, Siberia, Kamchatka, and Vladivostok, all those very, very far away places. So we had to do actually about all these technical things and packaging before. So it's not only now that we started to think about it. We had to do this from the very beginning, because maybe half of clients are in Moscow or somewhere near, but like one third part, they are from somewhere far away. So
Russia is really big, and you know, the market of kids furniture is not big at all. That's why now we are leading in it, and we have a lot of clients all over our country, because they simply have nothing to buy in their cities, really. And that's why we have to send our furniture, our items.
Yes, well, IKEA is somehow a competitive story for us, just because it is easy and quick and not that expensive.
It's not so expensive as it looks like.
Yeah, and we need to work on something that will distinguish us from and make each children's room unique, not like the repetition of the same patterns and forms. But all our objects, by the way, they can be easily moved. And this is a great thing about the kids' space. I love it, and I know that kids love it. The mobility of the whole picture. So if I want something to change, I can. I can move my chair, our table, I can move my bed, and I can make my bed a cave, and I can put the wardrobes closer or in a distance. So it is easily... yes, it is easily transformed. While the tendency, as I see here in at the exhibition, that the room is designed and built, like a built-in, and you can't move anything from there. There are shelves there, that's it. There is table here, that's it. The bed is there and only there. And it diminishes this opportunities of creating my own space in my own room. So my parents gave me a room, but it's all done by them. There is nothing of me there. So that's why I very much value the collaboration we have, like these three brands, because we add up to this kind of, yes, I can be here, and this is my room, my rules, and my parents will respect, if not yet, what I do here.
Touching a bit on that, what do you guys think about Milan as a city? Not only during design, but what do you feel when you are here? What do you see? What catches your eye?
You know, I think that the main thing I felt when we came here is emotions. And that is the most nice for me about this city and about the country, is that at the time you come out of the plane, you feel how people are emotional. Because you know, some cities, they're kind of dead. You don't feel in them anything. They may be beautiful, but still you don't, there is nothing that touches you. And here, I was in the airport. There is nothing, you know, really beautiful architecture or something, but still you feel this, you know, vibes. They are so strong, and it's very attractive, really.
I like the elegancy. We saw a lady on a bike, on heels, with a phone, and with, you know, very... she was like an angel, but a very elegant agent.
Yeah.
And I love the way people treat each other. I mean, we have met Russian designers, product designers, who work for Italian companies. And yes, of course, they are assimilated here, and they are, but they how to say?
Italia?
Yes. Right. Whatever. They somehow take this love for life and share. So I appreciate this love for life and sun and smiles. And Aperol and
and by the way, what I feel is spring.
Spring.
Yes. That is so nice after snow in Moscow.
And this glycinia, the tree which flowers like a sakura, the blue
right,
one,
right.
Glycinia.
The pink cherry.
Yeah, it's this. It comes with this April month only, so it flourishes and then goes, and it's this temporary thing makes it memorable. So I have this pink, blue, purple flowers in my mind.
And last question I have to ask everybody who comes on the podcast is, because it's a very Italian question, but I find that it tells a lot about a person's personality, is how do you drink your coffee? If you go to a bar, what do you ask for?
Coffee and water.
Here in Milan or
no, in general, everywhere. How do you?
Well,
I used to
drink latte. Now I can't do this, and so it's espresso followed by a glass of water.
I don't drink coffee for the last 15 years. I really like the smell, but I prefer tea. So I'm having just water and tea in the morning.
Any special kind of tea?
Oh, I like some herbs. So usually my morning starts with a cup of hot water with lemon, and then I drink tea with herbs. And I just looking on people who are drinking coffee in front of me.
I drink craft coffee mostly. It was invented in Moscow or maybe Russia. It's Russian style of drinking coffee.
Can you tell me just quickly what's the difference?
It's like latte, but milk is mixed with syrup. And then coffee is put there.
So it's sweet?
Yes, it's sweet. It's like something between coffee and ice cream for me.
Right. Well, thank you all for taking the time out of this busy week to talk to me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for interesting talk and interesting questions.